Blog Talk Radio.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay, cause I could draw, my uncle was, and I kept my room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face, she's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Sure. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. But those that like the same sex have the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago.
Bye-bye.
I don't know.
Bye-bye. And I can't change. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to.
Gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion. Gender, the skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walk out and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. Damn right I support it. Press pause. Progress march on. With the veil over our eyes, we turn our back on the cause. Till the day that my uncles can be united by law. And kids are walking around the hallway, plagued by pain in their heart. A world so hateful, some would rather die than be who they are. And a certificate on paper isn't gonna solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start. No law is gonna change us. We have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear, underneath it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
I can't.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Conscious Creative. Woo! Snaps, snaps, claps, and all that good stuff. Thank you all for joining us, as always, on Sundays with the Conscious Creative on Get Lifted Radio. I am one third of your host, Love Rains. You can follow me on Twitter at I Am Love Rains. That's IAMLOVEREIGNS. And, of course, I'm joined by these two beautiful young women and humans and all that good stuff. So I'm going to throw it over to Marie. Marie, how art thou?
I am doing fantastic. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Marie Borrojo. And you can follow me also on Twitter, Facebook. I'm also on Instagram. It's a beautiful day, wonderful week that I've had. How was your week, love?
My week was awesome, man. It was very, very, very good and productive. Got a new job. Things are going good, so I'm feeling great. And, yeah, I miss you. You should come back to Jacksonville.
Okay. and Sage, you're going to let Sage say her hello. She's all the way in Atlanta. I'm sure it's as hot as in Atlanta as it is everywhere else in the South. How are you doing today, Sage?
I'm having an amazing Sunday. It's actually beautiful weather here where I am. I'm out here under the trees, not actually in the city part, so that's great. I actually have the window open, so it's actually beautiful weather out here in Atlanta today. Welcome, everyone who's called into the show, and, of course, you can find me on any social media under Sage Mayak. On Instagram, it's Sage_Mayak, and, of course, Twitter and Facebook as well. What's new with me, the book is finished. On July 20th, it'll be available for purchase. A Lettuce to Our Mothers is ready for you. So.
Fantastic. So we can't wait to get Sage to Jacksonville to do a reading with some interviews with her because I see fantastic things. This book is going to be a fabulous movement. And I congratulate you on finishing your book. And I look forward to reading it myself, Sage.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's definitely going to be an awesome and what an amazing birthday gift to yourself to be able to present that book to the world, you know. So congratulations, my dear friend.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So maybe we'll talk about, getting some readings and stuff done here in Jacksonville or even in Atlanta, setting it up. So y'all stay tuned for that and make sure y'all follow Sage and are you going to start doing the, you want to start doing the hashtag Letters to Our Mothers?
Oh, absolutely. It's already started.
Ooh.
So, yes, if you have a letter to your mother that you need to put out or something that you need to say or it's an encouragement to other mothers or anything, absolutely, our hashtag Letters to Our Mothers on any social media. I'd be happy to hear from you.
Good deal. So, congratulations again, Sage. So for those of you who have joined in, if you have called in and you want to check us out online, you can log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Get Lifted Radio. Or you can also, if you're following me on Facebook or following any of the hosts on Facebook, you can go. There's a direct link that's right on our pages. And if you are listening online and you want to call in and you have anything that you want to say or chime in, you can give us a call at 347-826-7536. Make sure you press the number 1 so that we know that you want to speak to us. Today, I'm excited because we are joined by the cast of one of the newest LGBT positive media. I don't know what you call it. What do you call it? Marie, what do you call the online, like, TV shows? Is it just online series?
A web
series? I have no idea.
Oh, there you go.
I could not remember the name of it. It's a web series. This is why we need Sage. This is why we need Sage. Because Love and I are hella flaky.
Right.
And Sage is like our, what's the thing that you put on top of the roof, the weather thing? Exactly, because we can never remember the terms of things.
I don't know what that is. We're just going to call it that thing.
That thing. Sage keeps us pointed in the right direction.
Yes. I literally had a brain fart, and then when you said it, I'm just like, oh, yeah, duh. So, Refracted Reflections is one of the newest online web series It's been amazing, though, watching it, and I'm looking forward to it growing. So we're joined by the cast, some of the cast members, and the producer, writer and director of Refracted Reflections. I'm excited. Are you ladies excited? Is there anything that y'all want to chime in with before we bring them on?
No, I think it is. I think it's. I'm looking forward to talking with them. I know there are a few series out there, and I'm interested to ask a few questions and have some conversations and dialogue started. Because one of the things I noticed, as it pertains to the LGBT presence in the media is it's very slight. And it's even more slight when it comes to specific ethnicities, specifically African-Americans. I'll say that right out, right? And so we're going to talk about that. And if you guys, who's listening, and if you're listening, whether you have a question and you don't want to speak, you can definitely shoot us an email and we'll read your question online. We'll read your question on air. And if you also just want to chime in on the conversation, hit us up on Twitter, #TheConsciousCreative. So let's get this conversation started.
Yeah, definitely. And before I bring them on, we were talking about it a little bit too, because I was online trying to, when we were doing some research for the show and trying to find that LGBT presence, especially within the African-American community. I was just simply looking for more LGBT out artists. And, even on the list that I found, it didn't even have the people that I know for sure who are out, who are not only independent artists, but who are international artists. But they weren't even on the list. But mostly you saw our LGBT counterparts or, the Caucasian or Hispanic. But there was no list that I found that had LGBT out musicians and artists.
You're right.
One of the cast members on Refracted Reflections is definitely a good friend of mine, Royce Hall, who is an LGBT artist. She's amazing at what she does, and let's get this conversation started. So we are joined. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. I'm going to go ahead and bring you guys live. Let's see. Did I bring everybody live? Hello, hello, hello. TJ, everybody, are you guys there?
Hey, this is TJ.
This is
TJ.
Malika.
Hey, Malika.
And Royce.
Royce. I got beef with you, Royce. I text you, you didn't text me back, but it's okay. We're not going to do that on the air.
Oh, we won't do it on the air because she's infamous for it herself. So we won't call somebody out when you yourself. Exactly. You better sleep around your own front door, honey.
I am. Right. So we got Royce, we got TJ, we got Malika, we got Royce, and who else?
Sounds like that's all we got for now. I know we're waiting on at least one other cast member to call in, but hopefully they get through soon.
Cool. So, TJ, why don't you introduce yourself and introduce the other cast members, or we'll let them introduce themselves.
Okay, I'll let them introduce themselves, but my name is TJ, Tamika TJ Johnson. I am the creator, director, writer. I've titled myself all-around crazy person of Refracted Reflections. I am a comprehensive arts specialist. That means I pretty much specialize in anything arts-related, from music to drama to directing, producing, playwriting, technical theater, film, you name it. I kind of do it in some form or fashion. And right now, Refracted Reflections is my baby. And I have the privilege of working with some really wonderful, humble, talented cast members. We have a couple of them online. I'm going to let them go ahead and introduce themselves. We'll let Royce go last, seeing as he's under beef. we'll let Malika go first.
Hi, I'm Malika. I play the character Shy. I guess we haven't quite gone into the characters yet, so... I'm also, I've written a scene or two for R&R, and I hope to continue to be able to do that. I am a national slam poet and a burlesque performer and a musician, teacher, et cetera, healer. And that's, I guess, pretty much it. I mean, if the show was about anything else, I would ask Malika to expound on the whole burlesque entertainer thing. But I'm gonna.
I will say this. TJ, I have no doubt we'll find a way.
Yep.
Okay.
Awesome.
To tie that in because, we'll save a little bit of this for later. But she has managed to tie in some aspects of my personal life. I'm reading the script. Thinking these for personal conversations. And, my character is pretty much, there's a lot going on that, we'll talk about that later, but let's just say that there's not very much that I do in my personal life, or I don't even know if you call it personal, but not as my character, that my character probably will not display at some point.
Awesome. Considering I met Malika, and part of our first interaction involved her burlesque dancing in my lap and me putting a dollar into her costume, I think it's only appropriate that I at some point write some burlesque performance into the script.
Awesome.
True.
That's a way to tie it in, TJ. Yes, yes.
Yes, she's very adept.
I love it.
So we'll let Royce with his suave made for radio voice go on and wild.
I know. Did you hear that? I heard that. I was like, ooh.
Oh, you guys are true. Yes, I'm Royce Hall. Artist, author. I play the character of Emery. Emery and I are pretty much one and the same, except Emery, he's a cop, and I'm not, but I'm pretty much the same person. What else? I came into R&R unexpectedly, but definitely was so glad we got the opportunity. It's definitely a great series, something I'm definitely proud to be a part of. Other than R&R and being an artist, do fitness consulting and working on some other projects, so you'll definitely hear more from me very, very soon.
Awesome.
That's about it.
Cool beans. There's a lot more, Royce, because I know you, but it's okay. We'll let you take the humble approach right now. It's okay. So once again, thank you all for joining us. So let's just get right into it. TJ, tell us what is Refracted Reflections? How did it come about? How did you birth this baby?
Refracted Reflections is basically a drama. It is set very heavily in the LGBTQ community, even though all our characters nor all our actors are a part of the community. It's about relationships, whether they be personal relationships, work relationships, romantic relationships, friendships, parent-child relationships. But the common theme throughout the show is interconnectivity and the ways relationships play out despite the characters involved in them, whether it's a lesbian relationship, a gay male relationship, a trans relationship, a heterosexual relationship. The themes that we go through as a human race, they permeate every aspect of our lives, and it's our emotions and our experiences are no respecter of race, of class, of gender, of sexuality. But I did want to base it within the LGBTQ community, both to show some of the similarities and the differences to anyone watching that's not a part of the community, and for the people that are a part of the community to give them the opportunity to see themselves and their stories played out on screen, as we aren't afforded as frequently as we would like to. R&R came about, an acquaintance was talking about possibly starting a network, and asked I used to direct a previous lesbian web series, and one of the people involved was, you know, interested in, like, what would happen if we just set up our own stuff, you know, stop waiting for some major network to pick us up off the air, and asked would I be interested in writing a web series. And I thought, well, I write. I'm more so a poet, but I have done screenwriting. I did writing for performance as part of my performing arts degrees. I have a couple of award-winning short plays, so I thought, why not? And my next phase of development was to start to envision characters or situations that I would like to see on screen that I hadn't been able to witness thus far in either mainstream media or LGBTQ media. There were just some faces, some characters, some situations, some environments that I wanted to see, and I thought that other people like me might be starved to see. And even when I stepped outside of myself, you know, for me, I'm really nerdy, so I was like, I want to see something really intellectual on for a change. And then I started writing these characters and auditioning these actors, and once I got the actors in, I asked them, you know, what kind of stories do you want to see? What, you know, I asked people around, what do you feel is missing from our story being portrayed on media? And I started to try and grasp these stories and weave them together into something that could be portrayed on screen.
Awesome.
What are some of those? I know you mentioned a second ago about some of the situations that you are not, or that you were not seeing in the mainstream media. What are some of those situations that you feel that your show is now introducing to the public that you were not seeing before?
One of the things that I felt very strongly about was to have a strong representation of lesbians, particularly black lesbians, in the workforce, in the white community, in the white-collar workforce, in the management and above capacity of the white-collar workforce. I wanted to show an air of professionalism that a lot of times black women and black lesbians aren't shown in positions of in media. As far as looks, I wanted our cast to kind of to run the spectrum, to run the gamut. But there were things that were missing from when I turned on TV. There were dark-skinned people missing. There were beautiful plus-size women missing. There was a dearth of sustenance being replaced with just aesthetic value. So I needed some regular-looking people with amazing personalities and good jobs and wonderful, you know, relationships. We have a gay male couple in our series, and I felt within mainstream media being especially guilty of it, but within our own community, just showing a couple that, especially a gay male couple, that is just together. They're not cheating. They're not clubbing. They're not hopping from partner to partner. They have been together since high school. They have no intention of breaking up anytime soon. There's no drama. They are a loving gay male couple, and they also happen to be an interracial couple. We have a couple on the series, one of whom is a pastor, so we explore and we haven't gotten into that as far as I'd like to, but we tend to touch on aspects of religion and sexuality. I wanted to show a character that was not only Christian but called to ministry, who was in the community. We have some teenagers, so we explore the issue of, especially in our first episode, our whole episode and the interaction of all the characters is tied around this one young man who commits suicide after being attacked for being gay. So we talk about teen LGBTQ bullying. We have a foster kid who talks about actually being put out the house for being gay, and then her adoptive parents. We talk about what it's like to be a same-sex couple adopting kids. Just issues that were very dear to my heart. We had a stud-for-stud couple on the series, which are two masculine-identified lesbians in a relationship, and we've talked a lot about the internal and external homophobia that's experienced by them. You know, being in non-gender, heteronormative, conforming relationship roles causes quite a stir still to this day, and there's a widespread kind of internalized homophobia towards it, and I wanted to just, you know, show two masculine, beautiful, masculine-identified women loving each other and there being nothing wrong with that, and to kind of expound on the struggle within the relationship and within the individuals on what it can feel like to be in that kind of situation. We do have a trans character, and I am very lucky to have a relationship with Royce where we can sit down and talk, and I can get him to tell me about his journey and his struggle as he's going through it, which lets me write his character's journey and struggle as Royce is experiencing it, his character's experiencing it. So it's very genuine. It's very realistic. It's very timely. And I'm really, you know, pleased to be able to put that on screen. So, yeah, those are some of the things that I really strove towards while I was writing the series.
Well, as we're, you know, as we're continuing in the conversation, I know one of the things that we women mentioned in the beginning, TJ and Malika and Royce, was that there is not a really strong presence in the media, specifically with African Americans. Malika, you know, as you go out, and I'm sure you're recognized because the show is very popular, as you go out in the community and people become more familiar with you as an actress, as a player on the show, what are some of the things that, some of the feedback that you're getting, whether it be from the LGBT community or just from the general public? What's some of the feedback that you're getting, Malika?
What I'm getting is mainly, I think, relief and excitement. Maybe excitement is a better word for it, about the different facets of, I don't even want to say the LGBT community, maybe the LGBT community. I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot that we as a people and people of color are into that stereotypically we don't talk about. So one of the things would be the two studs in the relationship. They're very popular. And I think also the issue with our transgender Emery, I think that seems to be what catches people's eyes more so than anything. I was also in a scene where it was just kind of like, you know, a girls' night out, like unwinding kind of scene, or a girls' night in, rather. And it was me and three other characters, and, you know, we're drinking wine, and we're talking sex and all this other stuff. And I think that, I think people are responding really well to the fact that, first of all, they're getting to watch queer women of color who are clearly, you know, financially comfortable, but also believably so. So watching women of color that have the time to kind of sit in sistership and enjoy a glass of wine and talk about being queer and queer relationships, and also talking about the gender role dynamics that show up in our relationships and breaking down what lesbian sex is, can be, you know, basically anything we want it to be, et cetera. And so I think that really that is what people are, like, is getting a really favorable response. I think that this show pushes the envelope because it moves beyond the whole stud femme dynamic, and it presents it, but it also shows how it's different in every relationship and how it can be different in every relationship.
And I think that that's really, I think that there's nothing more valuable than being able to see your image accurately portrayed, like something you can relate to. So I think that that's really, that's the majority of the feedback that I get. And also largely the vast array of body types, skin tones, gender expressions, et cetera, on the show. I think that people really enjoy that. Because if you have a type, like, it's going to be on Refractor Reflections. And also, it could result in you not having a type anymore because your type might just be Refractor Reflections.
Right.
It's the best of, like, every conceivable world. So that's most most of the feedback I got. Now, what I will say is that in being out with Royce Hall, usually I think he's more the one to speak on this because, like, he's had, like, you know, a woman damn near throw herself into traffic to try to get to him. To tell him how much she loved the show. Yeah, it was Deep Royce. You know, she rolled over the hood and everything. So, you know, I'm going to pass that question on to him because Royce got fans.
Yeah,
so
Royce got groupies. Royce got groupies, fans.
Royce Hall, lady lover on call. What you got to say, boo?
Lady lover.
You guys are funny.
I think yeah. It was really one of the things that you just said, Malika, that really caught my attention was that, you know, your characters are believable. And also the sistership. And I think that's very important in any you know, portrayal of a group of people or any community is showing the cohesiveness that can be there, regardless of the pressures of society. And I think a lot of times we miss that, you know, and it's definitely not often portrayed in the media. And we miss how important that sistership is and how beautiful it can be, those connections and being interconnected, like TJ said. I do want to ask, you know, the three of you, I know Refracted, you know, many people, I'm sure, hopefully knows what that word means, but I want to get a better understanding from TJ first. If I don't know if you were the one that came up with the title, but explain that title to us, The Refracted Reflection.
I was the one that came up with the title, and for me it was just a refracted reflection is what happens when you shine a white light through a prism and it splits into all of the colors of the rainbow. And I thought that was very representative of us as a community, not only in its forward momentum, as in, you know, we're this one community, but we are so many different colors and places and vibrations on the spectrum. Different but the same, like the fact, the source that is this one white light, and that is the source of the entire spectrum. And I feel like it's really important for us to be connected to the source and know that even in our differences, even if we exist on opposite ends of the spectrum, our source is still this one white light. And it's our duty as a community, as a section of the community, to display, to be a white light almost. And that's what I was looking for in this program, you know, to be a white light in the dark, kind of very dark days of LGBT web series. I was looking for something to shine a little brighter, to be a little more illuminating, to shed light on different situations from point A to point B, or from the beginning to the end of the spectrum.
I like the name. Very catchy.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Someone was speaking. Go right ahead.
Oh, no. This is love. I was just saying, I wanted to say, TJ, one thing that I love so far about the show is the diversity of it. Because one thing that I've noticed, especially when it comes to LGBT in the media, it's always kind of segregated. You know what I mean? It's always only one lesbian couple, or it's always only, you know, one or a group of gay guys, or a group of gay men, or a group of just lesbian women. It's never, it's almost never kind of like a natural thing where you have a diversified cast. You get what I'm saying? So I love the fact that you have, that you've done that and you found a way to do that in a positive light.
I agree with you, Love, when you talk about the segregating. One of the things that we definitely don't see, I mean, in media we may see an occasional gay or lesbian couple. You know, when you think about shows like Will and Grace, I cannot think of any others, but like Will and Grace, one of the facets of the LGBT, well, the LGBTQ, we often miss the T. We often miss the transgendered individuals. Specifically, not only in media, I mean, just pretty much in all forms, I think a lot of times you'll find a lot of the biasness toward that particular community, the trans community, even within the LGBT community as a whole. So, I mean, this question is for Royce. How important do you think it's, you know, it is to have the representation specifically of the transgendered community in media? How important is it for you?
I feel like it's imperative that we have it because not only are so many stereotypes associated with trans men as well as trans women, but just providing a voice because there's so many individuals who don't have resources, don't have anyone to speak with, who are in similar situations, but having the slightest clue of where to even start in order to have a better understanding of who they are, as well as just being included. There's so many different breakdowns when it comes to the trans community as a whole, but just opening that conversation up to enlighten those who may not have an understanding or to enlighten those who think they know and really don't know. But more so, I think for me, the biggest part of it is just providing some sort of fuel for that person who needs it, who may be suffering, who is struggling with whatever they're going through, to understand that there are tons of individuals like them. And, you know, you aren't alone in your journey, in your process. And, you know, there are people who can help you. Just in me being a part of the show and dealing with my own struggles and coming to terms with so many different things myself, meeting people who have become more so big brothers than anything to assist me through this journey. Sort of like, you know, I can't think of the word right now, brain fart, but just to be able to have someone that you can call, you can text, you can hang out with, to feel a sense of family in knowing that there are people just like me. And then you also see trans women in the media a lot more than trans men. So I'm hoping that this can also serve as a catalyst, if not even, you know, the main source for bringing it to the forefront, because we're here, we do exist, and you know, some of us, we may not want to, or we may choose to not be as public about it, but I feel like with this being a part of my journey and a part of my life, that, you know, in over time, in my process, I can help someone else and shed light on it.
So, Royce, let me ask you, with the even though it's very limited as far as the trans perspective or trans, as trans people being you know, displayed in the media or in social media, or as far as the public eye is concerned, how do you feel about the way that, like if you look at like Laverne Cox on Orange Is the New Black, do you feel that it's a positive representation of trans that's going on right now?
Right now, I feel like I'm actually pretty thrilled to see a story like Laverne's or a story like her characters being included on Orange Is the New Black, because it's real and it happened.
Right.
And it's being portrayed from a not only a real standpoint, but it's clean, it's pure, it's authentic. It's not negative in the sense of bashing or belittling in the process of telling a character story. There's some friends of mine who've been doing a lot of work with CNN regarding trans rights and equality, and I'm thrilled with that even more because they're speaking from the standpoint of the political portion of it, which takes a lot of the weight off of the negative connotations associated with being trans. So right now I'm actually pretty pleased with what I see in the media right now.
Awesome. Let's see. It looks like we have another one of your cast members joining us, D. Thomas. D. Thomas, are you there?
Yes, D. Thomas, sir.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us. We're going to go ahead and take a break really, really quickly, guys. But for those of you who have tuned in, thank you again for tuning in. If you want to call in and you have a question for the cast, feel free to give us a call at 347-826-7536. Press 1 so that we know that you want to talk to us. But we'll be right back. We're going to take a little break. And for those of you that joined us from the very beginning, you heard Macklemore, Ryan Lewis, Same Love. I thought it would be very apropos to play that song. So right now we're going to throw it over to Kim for Life with It's Over Now. So we'll be right back after this break.
Välkommen till Planet Norik, The Avenue.
Get a better hoe. Man, is you trying to be a rapper? Get a better flow. You just a poser, you a phony, get some better clothes. The way I spit it is so sickening, need some medical. My metaphors got me high up on a pedestal. Why you just fucking hang around like some testicles? The nine to turn your brain to fruit, no vegetables. I'd rather have a good time, nigga, at the road. They turn me to an animal and now I gotta feed. And so I'm eating everything that's right in front of me. You cocksuckers, lucky there is only one of me. Well, you can make it too, cause none of these lanes up in this game can fuck with me or Q. Get down or lay down, you clowns, okay now. We fully know that we strapped, they can't control us, we back. Like spinal cords of that fat, simple tax for you assholes. I fucking chew you up like tobacco, that's back with you bitches to the root. I'm the truth, I'll tackle these bitches like a dude. I'm so rude, if you stand in my way, you might get stolen. You say you on my level, haven't seen you in so long. It's over now. It's over now. Motherfucker, it's over now. It's over now. Motherfucker, it's over. Now you can kickstep to the left. Button up your new vest. Show 'em what you working with. Cause they love it how you work it, kid. Now you should listen, I'm a serious. Got a chick for every month, period. Kristen Dunn, furious. I'm a bad girl, but serious. You hearing this? Loud and clear, megaphone, it's out of here. Manservant, Belvedere, go get my coat, it's over there. Employer of the year, Reed, got my business tight. You can call me paperwork, I'ma keep the money right. Your handshakes don't mean a damn thing to me. So sign on the line or you vanish to me. Amateur, don't play in the lions and can't handle her, yes me. I talk in the third cause I impress me. Born in the eighth month, got it honestly, I bother me.
It's over now. It's over now. Motherfucker, it's over now. It's over now. Motherfucker, it's over.
Welcome back to the Conscious Creative. This is Marie Borrojo, and I'm on with Sage Mayach and Love Rain. Today we are talking about the presence of the LGBT.
I thought this was supposed to be a to be continued.
Girl, let me go.
The end.
So I'm assuming that was the end of the song that I completely was talking through, and I apologize if someone was really into it, and I clearly interrupted the song. But again, this is Marie Borrojo with The Conscious Creative, and I am on with two other hosts, Sage Mayach and Love Rains. Today we are talking about the LGBT presence in the media, and we're doing that so eloquently with the cast members of Refracted Reflections. I do have a quote because that's what I do. The quote today is from Jason Collins. I believe he plays basketball with the Celtics. And he was quoted as saying, openness may not completely disarm prejudice, but it's a good place to start. And that's what we're doing. We're starting right here and with shows similar to Refractive Reflections and just simply being open and being honest and comfortable in our own skin. So right now we're going to introduce Dee Thomas coming in late, but I won't say anything because it's not class. But Dee Thomas, go ahead and introduce yourself for the listeners, please. Dee Thomas? Hello?
Did we lose Dee Thomas?
What happened to Dee? Going forward, if Dee comes back on, we'll make sure we get that introduction because everyone does that here on The Conscious Creative. So what we'll do, we'll go ahead with this conversation until we get that back up. So I want to ask the cast members a question concerning the media, concerning, you know, what you're doing. Outside of the show, are any of you active in activism or advocacy in any way within the community?
This is Malika, and I'm as a spoken word artist and a performer, that's probably like the strongest form of activism. Visibility is also a hugely strong form of activism. I was raised as an activist, so like going to marches, et cetera, that's kind of, you know, a big part of my life. But I think the biggest and most natural organic form of activism is conversation and visibility. And so I will say that the interesting thing is the older I get, the less patience I have for certain conversations. So I'm trying to actually dial it back now and learn to maybe field some questions that I feel are, like, inappropriate or, like, rudimentary. I think that that's actually a really important form of activism. And really, I think just engaging with people is, you know, paramount to everything else. But in my art, in my music, in my spoken word, and as a queer, I was looking at a catalog full of fabulous clothes the other day with Royce. Well, I was making Royce look at a few fabulous catalogs full of clothes. And they called it goddess size. So I will say as a goddess size, burlesque performer. There's a lot of dialogue that happens around that as well. But I would say that the number one thing is definitely being visible and being open to conversation. I'm generally good at being visible, and I'm working on my level of, and I hate the term tolerance, but actually it is tolerance, I think, for certain conversations posed by the queer community. I would say by the queer community and about the queer community, I would say my biggest challenge usually has to do with right now the homophobia within our own community, especially around gender expression and how it shows up in relationships and stud for stud, and a lot of the sideways comments that happens around that. I have a very low threshold, and people don't learn from you snapping on them, so that's something that I'm working on. And I would say that the show deals with that really well, and I think it's actually helping me to have these conversations without just kind of shutting down and deciding that somebody like it. So that they're just so far beyond reaching. I think that the show is an excellent vehicle to help me with that.
Right. I think we have D back on. I don't know what happened. D, are you on?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. Please go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone, please.
All right. Hey, I'm D Thomas, and I play Bayani on Refractory Reflections. And basically my character is a entrepreneur looking for love but has the reputation of being a player.
You giggled at the end of that. But tell us about you. Tell us about you. You know, how did you get involved in Refractive Reflections?
Well, I knew TJ from another project prior, and when TJ submitted basically the synopsis and everything about Refractive Reflections, even though I don't really look at myself as an actor, I felt like I wanted to be a part of this series because of the stories and the issues that it touches, because if you watch a lot of the other shows, they kind of stay away from touching those issues. But I think that any time that you are given a platform that you can help or teach or just reach out to other people that other people can relate to, I think that you should go for it. And I like Refractive Reflections because of, like, the Stud for Stud couple that we have on the show, like, it reached out to so many that you didn't even know were out there, but they are out there, you know. So I think that in all fairness, Refractive Reflections, it helps a lot of people who really don't have a voice, mm-hmm. and it's something that they can watch, and it makes other people aware, because if they're not aware, then they ignore, and that's not right.
Absolutely. I know earlier we mentioned it was said that Royce has a pretty large fan base. And I want Royce to talk about that. I know you, someone was on your hood. Is that what Malika said? Did that really happen? Seriously.
There was, I was actually minding my business one day, and this young lady literally stopped in the middle of traffic. And I saw the car, but I didn't know what was going on. I thought it was just, you know, regular Atlanta traffic. And she literally stopped, pulled over. I don't know how she saw me from traffic, considering I was inside of a building. But she swung her car into the parking space and jumped out of her car. And she was like, "Oh, my God, I told my girl that was you. I knew it was you." Like, she was so excited. And just her commentary about the show, and she was like, "It's her favorite show, and y'all don't understand how much I just love this show, and you guys are really, you know, touching on subjects that people really need to really have dialogue about, and I feel like I can relate to the characters." And it was very, because when that incident happened, I think we were just on the second episode around that time. So for her feedback to be so strong and for the impact to be so strong, it really threw me for a loop, because she was so excited, and I felt like, wow, you know, this is really, you know, there's no mistakes in time and space, and obviously, you know, I was touched by it. But it was in that moment, I was a little shook. I was like, whoa. Wow.
So has anybody else experienced that? Yeah. Anybody else have any kind of moments like that from the show?
No one recognizes me. That's part of the joy of being behind the screens. Now, what I have the pleasure of experiencing is when someone brings up the show and they don't know who I am, because, no one really knows who the writer, director is. It's the faces of the characters that are the face of the show. So I get to hear, you know, people's feedback without them even realizing that I write the show. Somebody, you know, just the simplest things, because it's a hard road sometimes artistically. And, you know, every now and then I'll get a Facebook comment. A young lady had posted
I've only been out a few months, and I never had a good influence on what it's like to be a part of the gay community until I saw this show. You're teaching me what a young lesbian is supposed to be. Like, that meant the world to me.
Wow.
And those are the kind of experiences. The other thing is that having the opportunity to know that it's international. I've had people pop up from South Africa, Australia. I do have, I was educated in the UK, so I have a lot of friends in the UK, but more people than I expected to pop up and say they've seen the show. Or, you know, I have friends that are in school from Bermuda in the UK, and then they'll be out and they'll be like, oh, I know that I was watching this show called Refractive Reflections, and they like have to tie it all the way back. Like, oh, I have a friend in Atlanta that writes that she's from Bermuda and she went to school in the UK. So knowing that it has reached different corners of the globe has had a great effect on me as well. But mainly just people being thankful, people that aren't into the everyday kind of lower brow, more for kicks or sensationalism, people that aren't into that kind of stuff, and they tell me that the show is a breath of fresh air, or, you know, it's so, the vernacular and the vocabulary turns me on, or I could just sit for hours and listen to them debate about, you know, this subject. It means a lot to me. But then I have stuff like my cast members come back to me and say, one of my cast members was like, I was in Las Vegas, and someone came up to me and introduced me to my friend, and they were like, you look like that girl from Refractive Reflections, and they're astounded, and I'm astounded, and it means a lot. We don't have the viewership yet and the popularity of some of the other web series, and that's where we're really, you know, growing towards, because I feel like we have a message. A lot of times people will follow shows because of the popularity of some of the characters, or because they like, you know, drama or scandal, or they're looking for something lighthearted, rather than get into something with the storyline. We're just trying to get, you know, our storyline out there and get people that are looking for something with maybe a little bit more depth and a little bit more social impact to find us and start enjoying the show and being a part of the show.
Awesome.
And that, you know, you mentioned,
oh, go
you
ahead,
mentioned
go ahead,
that
program.
The young, yeah, you, I'm sorry, because I talk a lot, so this is perfect for me. Being on a blog talk radio show, I think it's fantastic. I know you mentioned about the young woman who said that she's just out, and I think, you know, a lot of times there is limitations that's placed on us, the societal limitations, and I think the ideal or the capability of loving someone simply as a human being without the fear, without the restraint, without the obligation, is what your show is presenting, and I think that form of activism, as Malika put it, is very relevant and very needed in our society. So, you know, where do you see this show going? I know, you know, you mentioned the popularity. Outside of that, what's your vision for this show, Tamika?
Really, I got the whole government. That's what you did to me on Blog Talk Radio. wow.
I do it all the time.
So,
all the time.
on my plate right now is basically getting us out there is our main thing. There are, like I said, our first episode is based around a young man that committed suicide due to a homophobic attack, and it stands alone, meaning as part of the web series or not. The piece of media stands alone. So I would like to start entering it into some film, short film competitions, especially LGBTQ competitions. But, you know, everything takes funding, and we are always looking for investors. We're looking for executive producers, people that are willing to back what is a very important and meaningful project. As far as activism goes, you know, like I've been active in the social justice arena my whole life. And coming from a small island, I'm from Bermuda, and coming out and the homophobia that I faced there kind of spurred me to step up and become active. So I've been a part of the Bermuda Rainbow Alliance and Two Words and a Comma at home working to change the Human Rights Act. I've been active in LGBTQ youth work and getting our young people the resources they need with anything from physical help to mental and emotional counseling. And I want this show to be a voice, just another branch of the activism that we as cast members participate, even whether directly or indirectly. So there are subjects that I've yet to explore that we will be exploring in season two. Right now I'm in the process of editing our season finale. It'll be a two-part season finale. Those will be our next two episodes coming up on Wild Mind Entertainment. And like I said, we're looking for executive producers. We're looking for investors to help with the money for filming. But in the end of season one and coming up into season two, we're going to be exploring more subjects like mental health within the LGBTQ community. I am about to take on polyamory within the community. Malika has a very interesting BDSM storyline about to kick off in our last two parts of the season finale. I always feel like, as an artist, my art is meant to cause a reaction. It doesn't have to be a positive reaction. It could be a negative reaction. It could be shock. It could be horror. It could be sadness. But as an artist, if I have caused a reaction, then I have done my job as an artist. And that is what I'm going to strive to do through Refracted Reflections from beginning to end.
Awesome. I know that awesome real fast. I know that I certainly had a reaction when I read the BDSM scene. And an even stronger reaction when I was told who was going to top me, and I'm not going to say who that is, because you're definitely going to want to see it. it's going to be live. That's all I have to say. I will say that TJ is very true to her art. And when I say that, I will say, number one, there's a scene between Emery and a good friend of mine. We've actually been on a national plan team together, Gabe Moses, who's a trans poet. World-winning trans poet, actually. And it's an unscripted scene where they discuss, I guess, just different issues that come up, through transitioning as trans men, et cetera. And I thought it was genius because it was unscripted, because TJ was saying that she didn't have that experience, and so she wanted it to be organic. And I thought it was a beautiful scene. I didn't really hear much because I was more objectifying Royce and Gabe. But I'm sure it was really deep. And then also with this BDSM scene coming up, she's enlisted the aid of one of the most respected tops in the BDSM community in the Southeast region. And she was like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this person, but so I contacted her to see if she would top you for this scene. And she's like, I kind of just stopped breathing for a second, and all I'll say is that I'll start breathing again once this person who's topping me gives me permission to. And that's what that's about, yeah.
Malika had so many different reactions to that scene. I was concerned for a second. I didn't know she was upset with me. I was like, but I thought...
Yeah, I didn't know if I was upset with you. I'm still having reactions.
She was just like, I can't cope. I have a play uncle who is the reigning leather BDSM daddy in the Atlanta community that will be guest starring on our season finale.
I just want someone to be write a note, put a sticky on your refrigerator to make sure that I get the link for that show specifically. For that episode specifically.
Sure. I'm having
to see that.
My uncle will be having a few workshops, BDSM workshops, so we're going to be pushing that if anyone's interested in being involved. I've already signed up for a refresher, knot tying
class because I have some people in my life that I feel might benefit being tied up and disciplined a little bit. So I'm in the process
I raised my hand. I raised my hand over here. I don't know if anybody saw it, but my hand definitely just went up for that workshop. So make sure I get that link as well.
Yeah, so I take issue with people that do not study their craft. It might have given me a bit of a reputation of being stuck up in the community here, but, you know, Atlanta's the first place I ever lived in my whole life that you can just wake up one day and decide to be something, and you're that. No classes, you ain't cracked a book. You ain't Googled nothing, not Wikipedia, nothing.
Girl.
Like, tomorrow I'm a model. You have no portfolio. Every picture of yourself is a selfie. I don't understand. You know what I mean? And I respect my actors, especially the ones that I have online right now, because I say that if I give them anything, they do the research involved. So for me, when I decided that I was going to put this BDSM storyline in, I decided that I needed to reacquaint myself. I used to be quite active in the BDSM community, especially when I was living in London. I used to teach the safe S&M sex workshops for a few of the gay and lesbian youth groups in my area. But I've decided, you know, to go with this storyline, so I find myself dabbling. I've missed it. I hadn't had a chance to admit that to Malika yet, but I've missed it. I'm glad to be kind of back, but I will make sure that it makes her storyline continue to be accurate. You know, we also have a character who plays Royce's partner, who is a lesbian, who is HIV positive, who caught the disease from her female partner, whom she was in a monogamous relationship with. We've explored how that can happen if you don't know your partner's cheating, or how lesbians seem to feel like they are completely bulletproof when it comes to catching the HIV virus because we, you know, are intimate with women. And, you know, Royce's character, Emery, and Delilah, his partner, have had the chance to discuss the ramifications and the consequences and the changes that come about when you're a lesbian and the person that you're dating is transitioning, and the kind of the rhetoric that comes up with that, the discrimination that comes up with that. And I'm glad that they've had, you know, an opportunity to discuss that. They've had a scene or two to discuss that. But our character Delilah has now admitted in our last episode to Royce that she wants to have a baby. So now my whole world for the next few months is going to be involved in researching women who have successfully had kids that are HIV negative, that were carrying the virus. And you know what I mean? Like, I do my homework, and I find out what we're passionate about or what we need to talk about, and then really get into it so that it educates someone, or it heals someone, or it changes someone. But every episode, I need at least one person to have been affected by in some way that is not fleeting.
It sounds like, definitely, I think one of the more awesome things about the show, I mean, I can definitely pull out a bunch of bullet points, but I think, you know, it sounds like the show touches on just about everything, and not that simply relate to the LGBT, but relate, period, all types of relationships. Earlier you mentioned the presence of a teen on the show, and I know the pressures for specifically gay teens can be overwhelming. You know, they have to keep the secrets, tell the lies, deny who they are, and then try to be what they are not. We recently did a show, one of our first shows we did, with a very awesome man who has...
Hi, Alan.
Started a movement, who has started a movement called the I Am Enough movement, and it's a fantastic project that he's become, you know, that has really taken off. So, you know, tell me, you know, each actor, what your pressures were, or talk about some of the things that you experienced, you know, from teen into adulthood concerning your sexuality or concerning how you identify. Let's start with D.
Well, for me, coming out was a difficult experience because I have always been raised in the church, and I felt a huge amount of struggle between my my sexuality and my religion. And I even spent like a few years after coming out, being out but celibate, because someone at a church that I went to convinced me that it wasn't a sin to be gay, it was just a sin to act on it. A lot of anxiety, a lot of depression. It was actually in my senior year of my bachelor's degree, I was taking a class called Contextual Forms of Performance, which basically explored a lot of the motivation for art and in some of the darkest ways possible. We studied a lot of performance art. One of my favorite artists, Ron Athey, is a performance artist, and he does things like cuts and bleeds on stage. And he has this amazing story about how he was prophesied over as a young child, and he preached as a young child. He ran from it and ended up HIV positive. And just basically for my performance thesis, I had submitted a proposal for a performance that my teacher had approved, but was kind of like, about. I was sitting at home one day, and I was listening to some gospel music, and I had a really strong urge to cut because I am a cutter, and I couldn't understand why gospel music would put me in that space, would be a trigger for self-mutilation. And I had kind of this epiphany, and I actually did my performance thesis on the correlation between religious guilt and self-mutilation and how much the kind of indoctrinated hate has been kind of living under my skin, literally. And it was important for me to put a pastor in the show because I've been offered two scholarships to seminary in the last 3 years, and it is something that's very important to me. And I've gotten to a place where I'm okay with my relationship with my God and my sexuality. And I would like, someone asked me about writing in the struggle, and I haven't yet because it's not my story, but now that I've been approached about it, you know what I mean? It's not the place I'm in right now, but I have the story to tell if necessary. But I wanted someone to just see people at peace with it, where there was no struggle. There was no getting up and wondering, am I going to hell today? Because once I found that sense of peace, it was like my whole world changed. But for a while, I mean, I pretty much knew when I was 19. I think I came out when I was 20. But for a few years, the struggle of the fear of going to hell ruled a large portion of my life.
I can definitely relate to that, T. I also had a similar struggle, and I allowed myself to be a part of what I thought was a more accepted way of living for years until I also found that peace within myself and my relationship with my God as well. What about you, Dee? You know, what was your journey? You know, tell us about your journey.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Tell us about your journey. I mean, initially we were talking about the teen presence on the show, and I know for a lot of us, we may have recognized who we were, you know, as young as children, teenagers, you know, whatever. Tell us about that struggle or that journey for you from when you were able to accept who you are, walk in that and into adulthood. What was that like for you?
I actually always knew, and I think, like, growing up, I didn't know the word gay. I just knew I felt like what I was on the inside wasn't how my mom was trying to dress me. And so it's like as I got older and I started to more or less become my person, then that's when, you know, I guess like high school is when you really start to learn, you know, the word gay or whatever. Like, especially like when I have to go to my grandmother's and I would hear my uncle talk about different parts of the Bible. So then it became like a question on the inside. For me, it's like, well, if this is how I feel, then is it wrong
but it can't be wrong because God made me this way. So for a long time, I did have to struggle with what is right according to, like, what it is that your family teaches you because of the Bible, and then what is right because of how you feel on the inside. And eventually is what I felt on the inside is what I went with. And it was like a tug of war with my family, but it's kind of like an unspoken thing because they love me and they accept me. And basically, like, I never had to deal with, like, what some people had to deal with, their family disowning them or dealing with, you know, the negative side of coming out. I more so just had to convince myself that it was okay to be who I am and not what it is that I think that I'm supposed to be.
Awesome.
As you're saying that, I came across another quote. I love quotes, especially when they're relevant, clearly. But there's a person, Anthony Van Brown, who was quoted as saying, when you finally embrace the gift of your sexual orientation, it is the end of shame, fear, and oppression. You leave the darkness of the closet and begin a life of honesty, authenticity, and freedom, which is, I thought was a very beautiful quote. What was that, speaking to Royce now, who you're still transitioning, you're still, I mean, we're all still on that journey. What was that like for you, Royce?
For me, I think it was something that, like, one of my earliest memories was being in preschool, and you see all of your friends, you know, you line up for potty time, and you're wondering why I'm over here with them and why I'm not over there. And having a private conversation, I remember I was 3, and I remember, like, it was yesterday, I remember the tile in the bathroom, I remember everything, and just standing in front of the toilet wondering, okay, I have this belly button, and it looks like, kind of like what they know, but nothing comes out of it.
Yeah.
Just kind of this moment of confusion, and then puberty hitting, and by the time I hit, I want to say, I would say my prayers, you know, you talk to God and you ask God for what you want, and, you know, you say thank you for everything. And I think I stopped praying probably my sophomore year in high school, where I just realized, okay, I'm not going to wake up the way I feel I should. And most of the girls that I was friends with, you know, I was their perfect boyfriend, and they would always say these things. And I would always wonder why, if I'm the perfect boyfriend, if I'm this, if I'm that, why doesn't everything else coincide? What is the problem? I don't get it. And for a very long time, there was a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, a lot of questions, a lot of wondering why. And for the longest, you know, I tried the title of lesbian. It just didn't fit. It didn't feel right. It felt just awkward. And then I finally, you know, I started randomly coming across things just in researching, and realized that there was an entire world, you know, consisting of exactly what I was looking for. And in those moments, a lot of the barriers, guards, and walls I had for so long just tumbled down. And it was like in that second of realizing what I was feeling, thinking, doing, experiencing, that was the most freeing point of it all for me. It was just like all the shackles dropped, everything made sense as to why I operated the way I did in the past. And from then on, I decided that it was time that I was most importantly true to myself. I was watching a documentary yesterday, actually, and there was a guy speaking about his transition, and he was like, you know, just like many decisions we make in order for you to be happy, sometimes there has to be a certain level of selfishness in order for you to be selfless with yourself. And people may not get it. People may not like it. They may not understand it. But at the end of the day, we all deserve the right to be happy. And it's our birthright. And, you know, there are some things I'm still struggling with. It's not this easy breezy, you know, all of a sudden you understand it and you're on its cloud. But it's a lot better. It's just 1,000 times better than it was in those dark moments of just not knowing. And I can say that in getting to the place where I am now, I'm definitely a lot happier. And in understanding myself, I'm becoming a lot more aware of not only who I'm evolving into, but just aware in general. So I really feel like, you know, it's just a part of my journey, my experience, and it's no mistake. It's just a matter of embracing it and enjoying the ride.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
What about you, Malika?
I was actually raised in a black lesbian household. My mother was a custodial parent, and she was married to my father for 14 years. I came along in year 10. And so I was raised, like, a lot of the conversations that I'm having now are still, like, I was raised basically, I felt badly for people that weren't born black and female, because I was raised that was, like, and still I feel that way. So, like, I didn't know, I think I'm still actually learning that there are people who don't realize, I don't want to say, that sounds so wrong, but okay, the way that I was raised, basically, there was a cap on how fabulous you could be, and that was for anyone who was not raised, that was not born black and female. So it's like, you know, you can be as fabulous as you want to be, and I'm sorry, boo, but genetically you're just not able to go beyond this point, because, you know, whatever happened, you weren't gifted with this, like I was. So I was raised, it was kind of a superiority complex, which I'm very thankful for because I've needed it as I've gone into the real world, quote unquote. But interestingly, my mother was the more difficult one to come out to because I identify as queer, but when I first came out, I identified as bi. And when I was in high school, I was super boy crazy. And my mother was like, are you like this because I'm a lesbian? I was like, no. And then when I came out to her when I was in college, she was like, are you doing this because I'm a lesbian? I was like, you know what, Mom, everything is not because you're a lesbian, okay? Can we not make this about you? But, of course, I didn't say that because I would have been picking myself up off the floor. I wasn't raised that liberal. But my father cried when I told him because his take on it is so interesting. He was like, it's such a lonely life, babe. He was like, it's such a lonely life. And I was like, what the hell? Being straight is a lonely life. Why am I not meeting people that can meet me where I need to be met? And so it was a really interesting take. But, yeah, my mom was the more difficult one between the two. But all in all, I have been blessed to I was really raised to be free to be you and me. My parents were basically like, if you're not hurting anyone, like, we want you to be happy. And it was like I did one normal thing, and then I would do, like, three non-conventional things, shall we say. So I finally decided I want to pledge a sorority in college. So I pledge a sorority. My dad's ecstatic, sends me the money. My mom sends me the other part of the money, and she's just like, so you're black and Jewish, and now we're adding Greek. Okay. Whatever. And then, of course, I had to hear about the slaveocracy and the mentality and the branding, and I better not come home with no brand, and then it's all whatever. Ain't nobody got time for that. But 3 weeks after that, I started studying Wicca, cut off all my hair, and got my first girlfriend. So,
and that's it.
Did it. But I've always been allowed to be who, and encouraged, even though there were times where I know they were just like, oh, my God. When I started dating a trans guy, my dad did actually say, can't you just be a normal lesbian? Because this was beyond for him. But he did work. He did work. You know what I'm saying? Because he always wanted my partner to be comfortable in his house. And so that's just how I came up, and I'm super blessed that way. But, yeah, so that was my – I don't really have, like, an earth-shattering – me and one of my housemates, a gay man, we were talking to his mother because mine has passed away, but we were talking to his mother on Skype, and we want to, like, reshoot our coming out story because ours are really not that, like, earth-shattering, and we feel like there should have been more drama and, like, a moment of acceptance. It should have taken years, and we didn't experience that. We were robbed of that experience. So we want to do it as, you know, his mother hung up on us, okay,
we were sharing our idea. But yeah, so that's how it was for me, and that's how it continues to be. And my objective is to make sure that I can be that safe space for as many people as possible. So
you want to reshoot and add the drama?
Yes. We want to, like, do, and like, I think he's going to be the mother, and I'll probably be the son. And it's going to be, like, time elapsing, and he's going to be, like, you know, reading different spiritual texts to come to grips with, you know, his feelings about my, yeah, because it just didn't, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all. His mom was like, cool, let's go get ourselves done. Like, she totally wasn't telling her anything that she didn't know, which is usually the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what isn't as usual a case, but seems to be becoming more so, is a parent, like, being 100% okay with it and, like, being supportive. So as opposed to, I saw this and I was, like, ruining the day that you would actually let these words fall from your lips, we didn't have those experiences at all. And my father, his thing was, he was like, I never saw any signs of this. And my mother was like, whatever, he doesn't know what the hell to look at. That's not, like, whatever. What he saw or didn't see is a completely moot point because he don't know what to look for. That's not the issue. Are you doing this because I'm a lesbian? so that was my experience.
I love hearing coming out stories, man. And Marie, I know that you remember this one. Our friend Colin, who came out to his mother, he prepared, he was taking her out to dinner, he was going to come out to his mom, and he had, you know, prepared this big moment, you know, kind of went through in his head what he was going to say. And when he told her at dinner, his mom was like, oh, my gosh, so am I. And so it was like his mom completely stole his moment and, you know, was really just that. I thought that was hilarious. So I think that it's definitely a pleasure to hear stories like that where it's not always that drama-filled, you know, heart-wrenching, heartbreaking story. So I think that would be awesome. And it's like, how cool, you know, to have.
Well, you can let him know that if he wants to relive his experience for dramatic purposes, we can write him
in. I'm
going to
be directing this, how the coming out story should have gone in production. Because, I mean, my mom had a moment. It's so funny because I was in school in England and, you know, I'm old. So we would write letters. And I had come out to, like, my roommate at, like, a few days before my ex-roommate turned up on my doorstep from domestic violence with her boyfriend, and I let her move in. And I was like, before you move in, it's something I got to tell you because, you know, I'm not – when we were living together, I was still in the closet, so she didn't know. So I told her, and we had gone out to eat one Sunday, and we got in the door. I promise you, the phone rang, and I looked at her. I said, that's my mom. She said, what? I said, I mailed a letter home 2 weeks ago saying I'm gay, and that's my mom. She was like, you know, more people live here. Like, this phone could be. I was like, that is my mom. And she was like, bye, and left me and just ran up the stairs. So, I mean, my mom had a few issues with it in the beginning. I think it was, which was weird for me because initially she had asked me if I was bisexual because all of my friends were gay, like, but I grew up dancing, so a lot of my guy friends were from dance class and, you know, in the arts, it's kind of expected. But I had a boyfriend, but every time I came home from school break, she was like, where were you? I was like, at the gay party with so-and-so. She had asked me, are you bisexual? And my smart ass was like, no, I'm asexual, like a worm. To which she replied, well, just don't impregnate yourself, and left the room. So it was weird to me that she had a few issues with it, but it didn't last long. Now, her first response was the most hilarious. She was unsure if the new medication that I had been put on was making me think I was gay.
Oh, wow.
That was quite amusing.
Wow.
Okay, so, but in her defense, you know how some medication says that it might decrease your sex drive or lower your sex drive? So she was like, maybe you're mistaking, because I had a boyfriend at the time. Like, she's like, maybe you're mistaking your lack of a sex drive for being sexually, like, not attracted to boys. And I was like, oh, trust me, my sex drive is in full bloom. It's actually, because now that I know that girls are an option, my sex drive is doing marvelous things. So she had, like, a little bit of a rough patch. You know, I was still in school. And then when I came home for the summer, my girlfriend was in a gifted college program for the summer, and I was in Bermuda. So we were writing each other, like, every day. And that was
it took my mama back. She was like, you know, it seems really obsessive, but she, you know how it goes. That first love with a girl, and that was just puppy love, but, you know, that first interaction, it is very intense. Now, can I say that since my mom has gotten over it, I think that I have banned her from access to the gays at least 3 times this year, at least 3 times. I believe she commented on my Facebook post. I was going to a party. I had a particularly sexy tie knot on, and her response was, "Slay them." And I was like, that's it. No more access to the gays for you. Like, all of my gay friends in Bermuda, they call her mom. My house is like the little rainbow getaway. When I graduated from my second college program, I believe she bought me tickets, me and her, tickets to Gay Pride in New York for me to go and see the woman that I was dating in New York. Went to the parade. Like I said, I was very active at home with the Bermuda Rainbow Alliance at first in 2 words and a comma. There are several newspaper articles with my mother talking about how her child should be free to be whoever the hell she wants on this little island. I mean, my mom is like the P-flag poster mother. It is hilarious. I'm she'll call and she's like, guess who's here? And in the background, I hear, Mary. And it's one of my gay guy friends or several of my gay guy friends. And they're just sitting in my house in Bermuda. I'm in Atlanta. I haven't seen them in years. But they go and see my mother weekly.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. And honestly, and Marie, you probably can attest to this. I feel like my mom is probably on that path. It doesn't seem like it right now, but I feel like she will eventually be that one talking about slay them on Facebook or something like that.
Yeah, too much. I was like, no more. She said something last week, and I was like, ooh, you're on gay restriction. That's it. No more.
That is hilarious. So we're going to take one more break, our final break. Before, if any of you guys have to go, any of the cast members have to go, thank you so much for joining us. But we'll be right back. We're going to take one more break, and we're going to take a break right now with an individual that I heard on the show. I believe it was on the first, maybe it was the first or second episode, but a very good friend of mine, Ken J. Martin. We're going to break with him. So here is Ken J. Martin with Fallen, and we'll be right back.
What I do. Never did I ever thought you knew me now. Leave me here asking why, baby. Thought that we'd be good together. Hey, you were just my type. So maybe I lied to myself, wanting you around, wanting you to be the right one. I tried too hard to make you love me. That's the reason you slip away, hesitate to call me. But whatever it is, I need a little closure. Please just be even if it's just for a moment. I want you to call out my name, baby. I miss you, send me a word.
Send me a word, baby. Let the breeze carry us.
I miss you.
You allow me
falling down, baby.
have not a clue of what you're doing, where you gone. Hey, this time with each passing moment I think of you, hoping that you just not by. And I don't care what you've done, who you with, yeah. I just wanna know that you are alright. And this is the worst type of punishment for crime I did not commit. I just want you in my life, baby. I miss you, send me a word in the way. I miss you. You allow me.
You allow me to go
break
arms only reach
myself from the way. Oh,
send me a word.
So that was the very talented and awesome and amazing Kenjay Martin. Kenjay, if you're listening, I miss you. I miss you. I miss your face. I'm going to come see you soon. I just had to throw that in there. But welcome back to the Conscious Creative. Once again, we are joined with the cast of Refracted Reflections. Thank you guys so much again for joining us. So TJ, before we wrap up the interview and get right into our unwrapped session, which I invite you all to stay on and chime in, Marie Borrojo, we'll be talking about intimacy. So if you guys have anything that you want to chime in on or share as far as that topic, please feel free to stay on and continue to talk with us. But before we do go into that segment, tell everybody how they can tune into Refracted Reflections, how they can support, how they can help keep the dream and keep the show alive with Refracted Reflections.
Sure. Refracted Reflections, it used to be on YouTube. It is no longer available on YouTube. We have been picked up by a network that is Wild Mind Entertainment Network. On wildmindentertainment.com. Basically, it is a paid subscription. It's $3.99 a month, but that's not just for our show. For $3.99, you get to watch every piece of programming that Wild Mind Entertainment has. They have also started a very exciting conglomeration with B100 Radio and Deborah Antony. So soon we're going to have all sorts of independent artists, musicians available, but Refractive Reflections is part of their lineup. I made the decision to go over to a network because basically, you know, in the community, in the arts community, people always expect things for free, and I understand the mentality, and I understand that we feel like art should be something that's free, but artists, this is our work, and we need to get paid too, and we weren't able to do the show like we wanted to do the show. We didn't have the funds. Fundraising comes to a standstill quite early on in these kind of endeavors. So with Wild Mind Entertainment, every time you go to watch the show, if you get a subscription and you're signing on to see Refracted Reflections, make sure you put subscribing to Wild Mind to see Refracted Reflections, because we actually get paid for every subscription that we bring in. And we went there with the hope of growing
growing with this new network and creating a fan base that are a fan base of real supporters, because it's easy to say you support something when it's free, but you really prove your support when you're willing to fund it, you know what I mean? And it's not cheap to make a good episode cost at the very least almost $700. And we were doing it basically with a couple of investors, producers, and donations. And it's a model that isn't as successful as we'd like it to be. We are still open to taking donations. We have a PayPal account, which is god.will.provide77@gmail.com. But you can find us on Facebook. Refracted Reflections has a fan page, and it also has a page that you can send friend requests to. I am on Twitter @refractedreflect. We are on Instagram @refractedreflections, but the easiest way to find out what's going on with us is to get on our Refracted Reflections Facebook page. You can inbox me if you are interested in being an investor or an executive producer of an episode, or if you just like to donate, if you have some ideas. If you have music, you can submit to refractreflect@gmail.com. We also have casting calls coming up for new characters that we're getting ready to integrate into our season finale to line up for season two. So if you're interested in being a part, you can send headshots and resumes to refractreflect@gmail.com. And you can find me on Facebook under Inspired Visions. That's my Facebook page. And if you need to contact me, you can always find me there, inbox me any information that you need about donating or investing or being a part of the show. Just hit me up on Facebook. But once again, we are on the Wildmind Entertainment Network, and that is www.wildmindentertainment.com. Click on Refracted Reflections. You can watch the preview for free. We have five episodes up currently, and we're in the process of getting ready to film episodes 6 and 7, which will be our two-part season finale.
Awesome. Good deal. Any other cast members, Royce, Malika, anything you guys want to share, or any music or any projects or anything you guys have coming up?
This is Malika, and I would like to invite everyone to visit me at www.legacyhealing.org, and that is my website where you can find out about getting tarot readings and healing sessions, burlesque lessons, yoga, etc. And also, I just wanted to share that Ken J. Martin song, Send Me Your Words, that song he began writing when we were in bed together. And it's a true story. That's all I'm going to say.
In bed with my husband. How great.
You should know your husband. Know your husband, boo. Know your husband.
I know my husband. I know. I know him. Go ahead, Royce. Go ahead. And then I just wanted to say one more thing before we wrap up.
Let's see, I got new music coming. Soon, very soon, I have a clothing line working on, or it's been launched, pushing the importance of self-pride in our community and unifying our community, educating our community. Some other ventures involving acting that I'm getting involved in, social media. I am Royce Holmes on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, same thing, Royce Holmes. You can check out my clothing line, Amandla, which is also on Facebook, online store available. So check that out, and I'm around.
Awesome.
And I just wanted, because Dee had to go, Dee was actually in the middle of a photo shoot. Dee Thomas has a movement that she's working on called #IAmStrongerThan. Basically, you write on your hand, I am stronger than, and it can be anything. I submitted mine. It says, I am stronger than anxiety. I am stronger than autism spectrum disorder. I am stronger than chronic pain. You can find her on Facebook under Dee Thomas. That's D-I-Umlaut Thomas.
She's on Instagram at @D_Rebus. And you can take your picture of you or just your hand and just hashtag I am stronger than, hashtag DRebus. This is a photography. It's a very positive, empowering movement that she's got going on. I encourage people to be a part of that. And also, I will be performing in Charlotte for their Black Pride on July 16th for Undressed Charlotte's Black Pride that's being put on by Fallon from the What Is Which movement. I will be one of their featured spoken word artists, so if you're down in North Carolina, come check me out. And then they're having a Grown and Sexy Day Party on Saturday that I'll be modeling in, and I'm not sure if Voice Hall is tagging along yet or not, but... Refractive Reflections will be representing at Undressed in Charlotte Black Pride next week, July 16th to the 19th.
Awesome. Good deal, good deal. So thank you guys again. Please feel free to stick around. We only have a few more moments left in the show, but Marie always ends us with a wonderful unwrapped section or segment of the show. That's very sensual and very sexy. So today she's talking about intimacy. So please stick around, guys. And Marie, I'm turning it over to you, love.
Yes. I actually received an email from Desiring Desire. And in the email she wrote, I am a lesbian that has been in a relationship for 3 years with someone I see as my best friend. Over the last 4 months or so, the relationship has turned from being from lovers to what feels like a platonic connection. In other words, no more intimacy. I don't know how things have shifted. We are acting more and more like friends or sisters only. How can I get things to change? I miss being with my lover. I'm not sure, Desiring Desire, if she's listening or not, but I've also answered her via email. Now, I'm not sure if what's missing is just the physical intimacy, but intimacy in itself is simply a feeling of being in a close and personal affection and association. It's a belonging together. It's a bond that's usually formed through knowledge and experience with one another. It is a beautiful connection. It is something that we share with someone. I guess the true meaning of intimacy is simply just that closeness. And you could define the intimacy as the creation of a shared sacred space between individuals, and that's built upon with the mutual respect and care. And it isn't a difficult thing to get that back. I think one of the first things is to understand what's missing and why it's missing. It's important to understand, because it could simply just be relationship pressures. It can be work, it can be school, it can be being in that connection. So keeping the intimacy strong in a relationship, especially long-term, is often overlooked. With a multitude of challenges that couples face, such as work hours, like I said, commute fatigue, weight gain, it isn't necessarily a surprise that intimacy is often set on the back burner. Now, this isn't just sex. It isn't just that isn't the only part of that closeness, that passion, and that desire. The bottom line is that it's about the connection and connecting on a deeper level that ignites the arousal in many forms, whether it's spiritual, mental, and, of course, physical as well. So, you know, think about it. You know, are you happy with what you see in the mirror? I think that's the beginning, is finding out, am I happy with myself as an individual? Am I happy with my body? Am I preoccupied with my own self-esteem? Are you overlooking some other issues? Is she overlooking some other issues? Now, one of the things that I definitely encourage is flirting, you know, because it promotes motivation. And a lot of times we miss that because we get into the monotony of just simply living. Flirtation reinforces the intimacy since it keeps the desire and playfulness active. It keeps it alive. It keeps it current. And women are more likely to initiate sex and intimate touching when they are complimented and flirted with and respectful. And men as well, but I think they're likely to feel that satisfaction when they're satisfying their partner sexually. Be sensual, you know, touch. And that begins even before sex. So it's simply, you know, if your lover is in the kitchen, walking by them and just touching them on the small of their back, you know, kissing the back of her neck, writing little notes, taking pictures and sending it while they're at work. you know, intimacy begins before sex, you know, and creating that sacred space, you know. So a lot of times I think what we miss, especially in the bedroom, is that our bedroom becomes just kind of a meeting place. So you have your television in there, you have your phone, you have all of these different distractions. Try getting the television out of the bedroom, making that your place to connect. Yeah, you can connect in the living room, in the kitchen, in the garage, in the car, outside on the backyard, as long as no one is looking. You know, it's entirely up to you, but you still want that sacred space. And it's a place where the kids don't necessarily have free reign in, you know, if there are kids involved, because you lose that privacy. And with the loss of that privacy, we lose the sacred space. We lose that personal space that you save for yourself and for one another. So I recommend removing the television, removing those distractions. And when you come to bed, leave your smartphone in another room. Leave it in the kitchen. Don't come to bed on Facebook. Don't come to bed on Instagram. You come to bed ready to connect. And again, this doesn't always have to be actual intercourse. It can simply be looking at one another face-to-face while you're lying in bed, touching one another's face, kissing one another's shoulder, and just talking and reconnecting. And that should be a daily action. It shouldn't be when things have gone on 4 months. Like for me, if my lover, after 2 days, and it's just 2 days, and that's stretching it. If after 2 days I have not received a kiss, and it doesn't necessarily have to be tongue down my throat kiss, those are not the best kisses, just a kiss on my shoulder or some way where you're showing me attention beyond saying good morning or good night, then in my heart something has distracted my lover, and I need to get that attention back, and we need to reconnect. So intimacy starts with you. Intimacy starts with your definition of it. It starts with your definition of your relationship, your definition of your lover as well. So keep it hot. Keep yourself connected. What do you say, love, as far as intimacy is concerned?
I agree. I mean, and I know that I've definitely been guilty of, you know, especially with the whole phone thing. Sometimes I'm so tied to my phone, and it's not anything that I do on purpose, but it's just, you know, being so connected to the world as I am, and being in the public eye, sometimes you just feel like you have to do it. Sometimes you feel like, okay, well, if I don't do this, if I don't send this one email, I'm going to forget, or it's going to, you know, my whole world is going to end or whatever. But that is something that I'm definitely learning how to do, to just turn it off, man. Turn the phone off. Be ready and willing to be open to my partner, and be just present with them, and be, you know, continuously present with them.
Yeah, and be vulnerable, you know, be kind to each other, because intimacy is born of trust. So if you're in a connection where you're constantly picking, or your lover is constantly picking, and even if it's in fun, you know, but a lot of times what happens is when you're constantly picking, making fun, you're changing the dynamics of that relationship. You're changing that intimate form, you know, that you say that you're wanting and talking to the woman that wrote in to me, because partners who tend to rag or make fun of their partners often will create an atmosphere of defensiveness. And so when you're constantly ragging on your lover, that lover will become defensive. It's wonderful to be able to laugh at ourselves, yes, but there should be limits to the punchlines. You know, be sensitive. And if something is a sore subject, let that mess go. Because the thing is, it's not often that we can change someone's mind, right? And so mm-hmm. it's okay to understand that I don't agree with you, and we're going to leave it at that. And not walk away angry about it. And kind of, it's a difficult conversation. And, you know, it's difficult to talk about, because we think that because I love you, I am definitely active in love. Like, everything I'm doing out of love. You have to know that I love you, even if I rag on you. No, because what you're creating is an atmosphere of defensiveness. And so the keys to being intimate is connecting. It's being kind to each other. It's being honest with each other, being open, and being vulnerable. And find your comfortability in there. Be available. Be flexible. You know, don't sweat the small stuff. And remember to flirt, because even if this relationship has been going on forever, you still want to keep things exciting enough that you still want your lover and your lover still wants you.
I'm taking notes, just so you know.
Yeah. And heal. Yes, because a lot of times there are definite barricades or blocks that keep us from intimacy. And defensiveness, of course, is one. And also holding on to resentment, holding on to anger. And also, you know, not being honest. You know, if your attention has turned elsewhere, not connecting. And one of the bad things about social media is that it opens your world up.
Yeah.
And so not creating conversations that are not conducive with a healthy relationship. So, for instance, if you're in a relationship, if you're in a connection, don't give that energy that you should be giving to your lover to someone else. In any form, even if it's just inboxing, even if it's just, you know, you're making little cutesy comments, you know, on social media, because you know what it's doing? It's taking away from what you have at home. It's taking away from where your attention should surely be.
Yeah, that's true.
And I will, yeah, it is. So I will say, if anyone else has any questions, now I don't necessarily consider myself an expert, but I know some stuff. Like I can make macaroni and cheese really, really well. And I do. And I can tell you how to shave without getting any bumps and really close. And that's just from experience. It's like sometimes we just know how to do stuff. And so I don't necessarily consider myself an intimacy expert, a relationship expert, or anything like that, but I will have a very honest conversation with you. You can email me at marieborrojo@gmail.com. You can also hit me up on Facebook, Marie Borrojo, as well. And be yourself. I will never say your name if you have a tag. Even if your email says your name, I will never mention your name. So you are safe with the Conscious Creator.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Marie Borrojo. And make sure y'all join us every Sunday for the Conscious Creator, but for Unwrapped. If you have any suggestions for Marie or for the show, feel free to hit us up on Twitter or on Facebook. Give us a holler and let us know that you want to hear something else on the show. You have an idea or you have a topic that you want to hear. Thank you, thank you, thank you once again to the cast or some of the cast of Refracted Reflections. Thank you all so much for your time and just such a wonderful conversation. And thank you to TJ for creating such a wonderful and positive avenue for us and for LGBTQ folks. We definitely appreciate all that you are doing. So thank you guys again for joining us. Make sure
thank
y'all
you for having me.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. I posted as much information as I could remember. I was trying to type and post at the same time. But I posted most of the information on my Facebook. Feel free to share it. Add me, whatever. I can't add any more friends on Facebook because Facebook is being a hater right now. So I can't add any more friends on Facebook. So you can definitely follow me, though. Or if you don't have my information, hit me up. Yeah, so all that good stuff. Sage, do you have any closing words, my love? No. Sage, are you there?
Okay. Well, I have a fantastic quote to end this wonderful show.
Oh, wait, there you go. Can you hear? We hear you.
Oh, there's Sage.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I said I was very quiet throughout the show, but it was an amazing show. So thank you to the cast. Thank you to Marie. You do speak very well. So this is the platform for you. But as far as I am concerned, feel free to contact me, Sage_Myatt on Instagram or Twitter, and just Sage Myatt on Facebook. Contact me through our Facebook page on Conscious Creative. And we also have an Instagram page, Conscious Creative,
yes,
as well. So follow us there as well. But thank you so much for tuning in. And soon the link to go ahead and purchase Letters to Our Mothers will be up as of July 20th.
Most definitely.
That is it.
Marie, you had a quote?
Of course.
Marie had a quote.
I do have a quote. This is from Alfred Kinsey, and he wrote, "The world is not divided into sheep and goats.
not all things are black nor all things white. It is a fundamental of taxonomy that nature rarely deals with discrete categories. Only the human mind invests categories and tries to force facts into separated pigeonholes. The living world is a continuum in each and every one of its aspects. The sooner we learn this concerning sexual behavior, the sooner we shall reach a sound understanding of the reality of sex.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Marie. And again, thank you all for listening and tuning in to The Conscious Creative. Please continue to listen every Sunday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Join us next week for another exciting episode. Y'all have a good day and afternoon.
Peace.
Yeah. I stare at my reflection in the mirror. Why am I doing this to myself? Losing my mind on a tiny error. I nearly left the real me on the shelf.